Thank you. So much to say in so little time. You know, I have a friend who is a devout Catholic, and he always tells me that his messages, the actual message for his service is about 5 minutes long. And he says sometimes it's hard if it goes a little bit longer, he can't wait for it to end. And I thought to myself, he may not want to come when I'm preaching. And so I have so much to say in so little time, and so if I run over a little bit of our half-hour time, I'm not going to worry about it too much. Let's read a passage of Scripture first, and then I'm going to open up in a word of prayer. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Numbers, in chapter 13. Book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. I'm going to read verses 1 to 2, and then starting in verse 26, I'm going to go to 14:11. Numbers 13, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." And, well, let me read 3. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, and all of the men who were heads of the children of Israel. And jump down to verse 26. 13:26. Now they departed and came back. The spies were sent out, and they're coming back after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit." See, they had brought back some of the fruit, large grapes and other things. In verse 28, "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by a sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. And then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray that you hear us this morning. We pray that you hear us as one body of believers turning to you and looking to you this morning, the finisher, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we ask that you would take the things away that would stop our prayers from coming to you. Take the things away that would occupy our minds, that we do not hear the words that you have to say. We pray for forgiveness, Father, if there be things that would stop our prayers from coming. We pray that you would be honored and you would be glorified today. We pray that you would speak to us today. Father, we need to hear from you, because in your word is the power, in your word is the wisdom, in your word is the profit that will be able to overcome. And so, Father, we put it in your hands. We ask you to please speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, let's look at this. What's going on here in this passage of Scripture? It's been about a year since they left Egypt. You remember the story? How they were freed from captivity? And here they are now, standing at the banks of the Jordan River, ready to cross over to the land that God promised them. A land flowing with milk and honey. That's what God promises us. In our walk with him, in our life, in the difficulties of the world, he says, this is what I promise you in the midst of those things. In the midst of those things, I want to bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey. You see, the people had doubted, so they had convinced Moses to initially send out a scouting party to cross over the River Jordan and check out the land instead of just going and trusting the Lord. And they went there for 40 days. And they came back. And then there was the report. The report that we just spoke about. Oh, yes, it's beautiful. Oh, yes, it's wonderful. Oh, the soil is good. Oh, he promises us. Everything that he promised us is there. But we can't go. We can't do it. And I thought, could they have forgotten what God had done for them so quickly? We do, don't we? Let's recap. What had God done for them? Little old Moses, who had been a shepherd for how many years in the wilderness, was sent to the Pharaoh of Egypt to say, let my people go. During that time, as Pharaoh refused, God turned water to blood. Plagues were brought to the land. Pestilence was brought. Livestock died. Egypt's firstborn were killed. All of these things happened. The power of God was shown. And the Israelites walked out of Egypt without a single life being taken, without resistance. Not only without resistance, they were given silver and gold and jewels. They walked out with. As they began their journey, the Red Sea was parted for them. Think about that. The Red Sea was parted for them as they crossed over on dry land. The Egyptian army decided to come after them, and they were wiped out, the entire army. Lord gave them water from a stone in the middle of the desert. Lord fed them with manna from heaven. God sent quails so they could have meat. He led them by a cloud by day and by the fire by night. The whole story of the Ten Commandments was given to them on Mount Sinai. So much had happened. The power of God was seen. And we see it throughout our lives. But doubts and fears and uncertainties arise. And now, nearly a year later, they stand at the banks of the River Jordan, about to cross over to the land that God had promised them, that land flowing with milk and honey. And what do they look at? What do they see? Well, let me turn back to this passage of Scripture in chapter 13. Let me read verses 27 to 29. 27 to 29. Then they told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. Truly does flow with this milk and honey, and this is the amazing fruit that it bears, but nevertheless, we can't go. The people who dwell in the land are too strong for us. The cities are fortified. They are very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. We can't do it. After all that we saw, all of that they saw." You know, sometimes when I talk with Brian different things, he always tells me, he reminds me, we have to put ourselves in their shoes. What are they seeing and what are they thinking? And how do we understand what their thought process was? And so I tried to do that here, and I thought, still, I don't know that I'd be able to reject it. I don't know that I'd be able to say, oh, we can't do this after seeing all the things that God has done for us. That's the way it is in our lives. We see all the things that God has done for us, and then these doubts and these fears assail. And we lose hope. Well, 10 of the 12 that went out, what did they see? They looked at themselves. They looked at their fears. They looked at the physical. They looked at the giants. They looked at self. Hey, we're tired, hungry, mentally and physically worn. Fear spread like wildfire throughout the camp. You see, they were relying on being led. They were relying on remaining as sheep instead of growing in the word and the wisdom of the Lord. Instead of seeking the Lord for themselves. Oh, to stay in that place where we won't grow. Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It tells us to bind the words around our neck and in our hearts so that we may grow in the Lord. Individually. You see what happens when we look solely at the physical, the world around us, or our physical abilities or lack of to face the situations, we too fear. You know, we can't deny that there are crises going on all around us, all around this world, all in this country, in our families, in our government. There's crisis of morality, crisis of truth, crisis of relativism. There's crises in the world, and there's crises in ourselves. But in ourselves is not where we find that strength or that hope. Even our own lives, fear can so easily consume us. Circumstances can look like giants. And they are giants in a worldly view. I've not even talked yet about our personal giants that we face internally. So easily to become overwhelmed. When we only see the giants. You know that place in our hearts where we live alone? Do you know where I'm talking about? Where we live with our thoughts? Where no other human can enter? Oh, we can talk to others face to face. We can hold others close to us. But we can't enter into each other's own internal space. In there, we live alone. There's no way for another person to come in. It's easy for us to feel alone. But there is only one I know of that can penetrate those walls. There's only one that I know of that has penetrated those walls of mine. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Where we can honestly say we are not alone anymore. That's why we talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's that personal. It's that close. That's why we can say we are not alone anymore. Well, 10 of the 12 scouts looked to themselves. They saw the giants. Two of them looked to God, and they saw victory. You remember David and Goliath? Did David focus on Goliath or God? David focused on God. What about Israel's armies before David came? What were they focusing on, Goliath or God? They were focusing on Goliath, weren't they? Yes, he was there. But you see, what I have found, what I have seen in my life is that God's specialty is attacking the giants. God's specialty is attacking those things that we can't do. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we don't give up. That's why we don't stop walking by faith. That's why we don't stop sharing Christ. Because we know that God is able. That's why we don't stop preaching Christ. You know, Pastor shared that Leo had just recently passed away, and I had spent some time with Jolynn that day. It was this past Thursday. And yes, there were tears. And one of the things she said to me, you know these little red Bibles that we have out there and we pass out sometimes, or when we leave a tip at a restaurant, we just leave one at the table? It was their ministry to leave these wherever they went. And she said to me, we have left thousands and thousands of these. And I wondered, she said, I wonder, Pastor Tony, is he seeing someone up there today, right now, that was there because of one of these? How many thousands of them did they pass out? See, the truth is, we have to stop looking at ourselves. Without God, there truly is no hope for us to win these battles. But there is a God, and He is here, and we do have a living hope. Do we know what we have and who we are in Christ Jesus? What are some of His promises to us? I passed out some scriptures to different people. I want to ask them to read some of them right now. The first one I want to ask if someone would read is Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Whoever has that one, can they read that for us?
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall search for me with all your heart.
Do you believe His words? Do you believe them to be true? Philippians 4:13.
I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me.
Thank you for that. I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Romans 8:37 to 39. Not even self. Not even those doubts or those fears that those men saw. Deuteronomy 31:6.
Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you.
He will not leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3a.
But now thus saith the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
When you walk through the waters, they will not overtake you. He says in Psalm 23, my rod and my staff, they comfort you. You see, Giants come in all shapes and sizes. How about this one as far as under the category of self? I'm not worthy. That's a category under self. As a side note here, you know, I believe the greatest enemy or the greatest weapon the enemy uses toward us is self, selfishness. And especially a lack of self-worth. I know that it's a great enemy of mine. I say that to you humbly and sometimes embarrassed to say it or to admit it. But it's always a battle and it's always there. In fact, I can do something a little bit differently, a little bit out of the normal. There's a video that I'd like to play. It's about 7 minutes long, if we can please do that. It's Andrew Peterson is the musician.
Try a song on the piano. I wrote this for my daughter. It has nothing, I don't know how to segue from what just happened. But I was thinking about it because of some of the stuff that Sally's been reading. What was it? It was like two of the stories ago where you said how to make God happy is to just trust him and believe that he loves you. I was sure. Crying. I have a really hard time believing that he loves me. I don't know where that came from exactly. But I do. And I can be angrier at myself than at any other person in the world. And anyway, I have this three kids, sweet little girl. Her name's Sky. She's 13. Any of you ladies remember being 13? It's not necessarily the easiest time to be a little girl. And she's so precious, and she's so much like me in a lot of ways. But one of the ways that she is like me is that she can be very, very angry at herself. And I can see her sometimes descend into this like vicious circle of kind of self-hatred, you know, like she can be upset about something legitimate and then not long after that I can see the turn when she stops being upset about that thing and now she's upset at herself for being upset. And it kind of turns into this, you know, it's like a snake eating its own tail. It just gets worse and worse and it's heartbreaking to see because I'm so familiar with that language. Like I've just got such a long list in my own mind of the things that I don't like about who I am, things that I wish I could change about myself when I look in the mirror. The thing, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only person who feels this way, but a lot of times right before I go on stage or when I'm around somebody that I really like, my head is full of voices, these accusing voices that say, if they really knew you, they would hate you, you know, or if you hang around them too long, they're going to get sick of you, or you know, you have no business being on the stage. Remember that thing you did 20 years ago or last week or whatever it may be, this long list of things. And I was talking to a buddy of mine about this struggle, this ongoing struggle with self-hatred. And he very wisely said, Andrew, you know, self-hatred is just another form of self-worship. We're not friends anymore. Just kidding. But can you feel the truth in that when I say that? Yeah, almost every night I say that, people go, you can feel that it's true. It's this, if you're bowing down to the altar of self-hatred, then you're just bowing down to the altar of self. And you're spending all of that energy on your own sin and not on the people that God has given you to love, right? If your attention is on that, then it means it's not on the cross of Christ, which tells you every time you look at it that God finds you so precious, that he died and conquered death to make it so that you could be a part of his family. That is a very powerful thing. So one night I was helping Skye get to sleep. She was struggling with some of this stuff, and I remember praying with her and telling her every true thing I could think to tell her. And as I was talking, I was beginning to be amazed by myself. I was thinking, I'm the best dad in the world. Like, where is this stuff coming from? It's this, like, everything was this profound wisdom. And it was like these little jewels were coming out of my mouth, like glowing pearls, and sinking into her heart. And I was thinking, I wonder if anybody's recording this because it's so good. And so anyway, it worked. And she finally did calm down and she went to sleep. And I walked out. I kind of swaggered out of the bedroom. And Jamie, my wife, was standing there. And I was like, did you hear that? And she was like, yeah, I was listening. I was like, I'm so amazing. Like, the stuff that I was saying, I don't even know where this stuff comes from. And Jamie said, yeah, everything you told her was what I was telling you last night when you were crying. So anyway, so I wrote this song for Sky Girl and sang it for her the next morning and remembered realizing as I sang it to her, it was like God was saying, Andrew, pay attention to the way a father loves his child. Dark well, I can hear it in your voice that if you only had a choice, you would rather be anyone else. Well, I love you just the way that you are. I love the way he made your precious heart. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. It's hard to hear it when that anger in your spirit is pointed like an arrow at your chest. When the voices in your mind are anything but kind, and you can't believe your father knows best. Well, I love you just the way that you are. I love the way he's shaping your heart. Be kind to yourself. Expect to be perfect. It's a fight you've got to forfeit. You belong to me, whatever you do. So lay down that weapon, darling. Take a deep breath and believe that I love you. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself.
That was a video, if you're listening to this message online, it was Andrew Peterson, Be Kind to Yourself. And that self and that problem with self is part of the selfishness and the self that we look at instead of looking at God sometimes. I can't see my words on my paper here. But that's exactly what these people were doing because they were looking at themselves. Oh, we can't do this. Oh, it's too hard. And so they wandered in the desert for another 40 years before they crossed over to that land flowing with milk and honey. And that's what happens with us sometimes. We wander in the desert because we look at self instead of looking at our God. You know, I was thinking when I was going through this message, one of the things God tells us to do that we know about is to love our enemies, right? We say, oh, okay, I'll try to love my enemy. Well, if I don't like myself very much, that's in a sense, it's one of my enemies then, isn't it? And we need to love and forgive and encourage ourselves as well. And there's only one way that we can do that. There's only one way that I found we can do that. That's by looking to God and not looking at self and who he says we are. We are redeemed. We are more than conquerors. We've been forgiven. We are loved. God wants victory for us. You know, I believe that there's one thing that God cannot do. That one thing is that he can never leave us. Never leave us nor forsake us. Never leave us alone. He'll never leave our side. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how long we may have to wander in the wilderness, no matter how many times we fall short or curse him or reject him, he will never, can never leave us. No matter how long we look at self instead of looking at him. He never left those Israelites, even when they went through the wilderness. They looked at themselves. But look in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 5. What did Moses and Aaron do? In Numbers 14, verse 5, it says, "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel." They were looking to God. And back in chapter 13, verse 20, before they went out, Moses had said to them, "Be of good cheer." You know what that says to me when he says to them, "Be of good cheer"? It says, hey guys, you're going to encounter trials. You're going to encounter battles. You're going to encounter struggles. And we need to prepare. Blade the target. You know, like a football player, when a guy's coming at him running full speed and they're going to stand there to tackle them. They prepare themselves. They put their feet steady in the ground. They know it's coming. As a police officer, we would do what's called blade the target. You take and you would turn just sideways, ever so indiscriminately. And if I'm left-handed, and so my gun would be here, and so I would blade the target if I was talking to someone. And don't know if there's going to be an attack. Don't know what's going to happen. And so I'm preparing myself. I'm stable. I'm balanced. Some of us know about this. You're ready. You're prepared. Blade your target, because it's coming. We know it's coming. We know the world we live in. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, God doesn't promise us an easy chair, but he does promise to be with us wherever we go. He says, "In the world you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world," in John 16. Whom shall we fear? You see, our God is still on the throne. He builds up kings and nations, and he knocks them down. All of his promises are yea and amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Listen, this is not a pep talk to you. This is truth. This is the reality that we live in as Christians. The reality is what those two saw, not what the other 10 saw. He is our God. And he tells us that we walk by faith. And it's with a purpose. It's with a plan. It's with a direction. It's with an outcome. And it's with power. As I was preparing this message, I wondered, when was it that I started to think that salvation was solely about me and not about a relationship with my Lord and Savior? What is it that he wants of me? What is it that he calls me to? He says, "Pick up your cross and follow me." You see, I believe self is our biggest enemy. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I'm not equipped. Send someone else. But he sends you. I have other responsibilities. I'm sure you'll understand, God. Wait a second. Remember who we are in Christ? Do you remember what we have been given? Do you remember that we have been called? Remember that we are a follower of him? Remember what he said to Esther? Perhaps you were saved for such a time as this, Esther, to save the entire Israel people. Was it time for Esther to focus on herself? To focus on the power of God? You see, here's what I want to tell you. You can't rely on me. You can't rely on Pastor to feed you the meat of the word. We can only try to point you to it. That's what we do. We point you to it. We point you to him. It is him who fills you with his spirit. He is the one who has the power for you to overcome. You need to be looking to him. You need to be studying him on a daily basis. You need to be talking to him in prayer on a daily basis. You need to be receiving from him. He is your redeemer. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the only one who has the power to save you and transform you and heal you. And one day, we will join in with the chorus of angels like Leo. And sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the one who was worthy to open the seal. To him be all the glory and power and honor forever and ever. We need to stop looking at self like the ten and look to the Lord like Moses and Aaron did and fall on our faces. And we need to stop looking at our circumstances. We need to look to the one who is able to do great and mighty things through us. I'm getting ready to close, I promise, and in chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. Let me read it. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. You see, the God that we look to and trust is an exceedingly good God and good Father, and he promises us to be with us and to comfort us and to get us through. In verse 8, it says, if the Lord delights in us, and he does, he delights in his people. He has to delight in his people. He went to the cross, and for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He delights in his people. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, the land which flows with milk and honey in our lives. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Walk through that place with the Lord. Who does God say we are? Where do we place our trust? Where do we find peace? With him. Those giants are his to fight if we give them to him. I could be gone tomorrow. We all could be gone tomorrow. Our security is in Christ and Christ alone. That's why we say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's why we can say, I am not ashamed of the power of Jesus Christ, because that's what will get me through these times. That's what I can overlook the self portion of it and look to God instead. That's what Jesus was confronted with Satan when he went into the wilderness. Satan said to him, oh, you're hungry. You need bread. Self, right? Oh, listen, bow down to me and I'll give you all these things. Self, right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I had a friend who is Jewish, and he had just passed away this past week, and I went to see him, and he was in a coma. He was intubated. Is that the right word? I can never figure that word out. Intubated. And on the dialysis machine, and he never really wanted to talk to me about Jesus Christ being the Messiah. And as he was in a coma, I kind of thought, he's a captive audience. I don't know that he was able to hear me, but I told him, Jesus is the Messiah that you've been waiting for. Trust him. And my prayer and hope is that he heard me and that the Lord used that. And that the Lord, who knows what God can do? God can do all things. He has no restrictions. And so we trust on what the Lord can do. And that's why we look to him. See, the battle belongs to the Lord. Okay, I know I'm way over. I'll close with one last passage of scripture. Romans 15:13. I'll just read it to you. Romans 15:13. See, God wants victory for us. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." May the God of hope fill you as we look to him and trust him as the author and finisher of our faith. Whatever befalls me, God, it's yours. And I fight against this self, just like these people. They look to themselves instead of looking to the Lord, instead of falling on their knees. Was it only Moses and Aaron that had been falling on their knees on a regular and continual basis, praying to the Lord, while these people were just continually shepherds, just saying, okay, we'll follow. Okay, we'll follow. Okay, we'll follow. God tells us, study to show ourselves approved. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He calls us to a higher calling, to a higher place, to a higher ground. And if all of them were falling on their knees to God, then they also would have been like Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb. He says, this is the land that God has given us. He has promised us the victory. And so, that's our hope. Our hope is in Christ Jesus and what he has done. And so, my prayer is that we stop, as hard as it can be sometimes, looking at ourselves and at the giants, and look to God, our Lord and Savior, for victory over all those things. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I praise you, Lord, because you are worthy. And I pray that your word will go forth. I pray that you will bless it, and that lives will be changed. My life will be changed. You may be honored and glorified, and we can see a mighty work in our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.